Okay, everybody, mic check. Are we on here? Can you hear me okay? Coming in loud and clear. Hope I am here. I'm going to get this thing adjusted right. How was the audio the other day? Some guy got on there and complained and said that I was like, I don't know. He was upset. He said that the audio wasn't that good or something. I don't know. So, he said like I turned my head or something, but I thought I had this set up into a way that it was fine. So I'm loud and clear here. All right, good. The other mic from Illinois, stop being friends with me. He became the deauthorized mic. But I thought it sounded great anyway, the audio. But I have lost many friends along the way, but I have gained many more as well. And I thank God for that. But I have lost a very many that I loved very much that, sadly, they were not friends to the end. So I've lost a bunch, but that's the way it goes in this Christian walk. You are going to lose some friends. And if you stick by the stuff, what happens is when people want you to go past what the Bible says and you don't go, you know, they just keep on trucking. And that's fine. They can keep on going. But I'll tell you something, and this is a testimony of the truth, that God preserves us and keeps us, because I'm still going after all these years and of challenges and trials. And, you know, God's humbled me. He's brought me through a lot of things. He's tested me on that. But out of it all, the Lord has delivered me. Yeah, I didn't really lose anybody that was a real friend, that's for sure. A lot of my friends stuck by me through all those hardships. Some of you weren't around for some of that, and I'm glad you weren't. You probably would have been carried away with their dissimulation. But I've watched a lot of them go off into the sunset, so to speak, and never to return. And it's a lot to think about. It is. It's probably part of the depression and the things that I went through, the anxiety. I know it was. The betrayal and the other things like that were part of the anxiety and the and the depression that I've been through and all sorts of things like that. It was part of it. Probably most of it. To, you know, run up and down the roads with people and serve the Lord with them, only to find that they turned their hand from the plow, or they left, or they, you know, don't want anything to do with you anymore. So it happens. So it's something. But, you know, for a long time, I wasn't going to come back online and do anything, really. I was going to just stay away. I'd cut everything off, and I was just going to be like, okay, I'll just take care of the church and not bother with being online and all those things. I really was going to do that, actually. And really, what I needed a lot of time to heal from a lot of that, and I don't think I have completely, but in that sense, I can't even begin to tell you. But anyway, I come on here and just speak real to you. I'm not some studio dude. I'm just a regular man that's been called by God and saved by the grace of God and has the same struggles that you have when you get up in the morning and sometimes peculiar ones at that, given the ministry and everything. But you know, those strange things that can come upon us. But we just keep serving the Lord and being faithful to God. Through it all, we continue on to be faithful to God, and it's new lessons for me. There's a lot of things that I've been through over the last 2 years that I've never been through in the entire time I've been saved or in the ministry. So a lot of things, but a lot of challenges. So it has been an amazing journey here for the last couple years, that's for sure. Nothing like I've ever experienced before. But God has used it to help others, and I believe will continue to help others. And I pretty much have a group of people that listen to me because they want to learn, and that's the bulk of them, I believe. I think the bulk of the people that listen, which, the bulk of people that listen, I believe, want to. And then there's some people that listen to me because they want to argue with me and call the police on me if I do a video from my phone or from my car. Oh, man. And then there's others that used to shoot at me and do all kinds of videos about me, and I guess they got bored of it and figured out they weren't doing any good. It wasn't stopping me from doing the will of God. So then eventually they just quit making videos about me, and I guess they figured they exposed me enough and all that stuff. But anyway, those are the challenges of the day-to-day challenges of the ministry. So when I say this and I come on here and I do this, I don't always like doing it. Believe me, some days I'd rather just go sit and stew and not talk to anybody and be by myself and maybe study or read or something like that. But it's not what God's called me to do. And now studying and reading is part of it, but I've got to get up and get moving for Him and got to allow the Lord to use me the way that He chooses to. And whatever way that may be. And even through, God says we're going to serve Him through sorrow. We're going to serve Him through joy. And most of my ministry was that. And then it would be through sorrow that we would, serve the Lord in all seasons. So, at least the car isn't my mother's basement. That's right. I tried to stay in my mother's basement once when my house was being remodeled. But that's when the Lord put me through a lot of things, and I was going to sell my house, and God didn't want me to sell my house. So He really allowed some things to happen to me to wake me up, and He wanted me right smack dab in this town, And boy, was it amazing. But the Lord provided. We pretty much had, let's see, what was it? About $45,000 worth of home improvement done last year, and I don't know a dime for it. See, a tornado came in and ruined my siding. And it was already 20 years old. The siding was 30 years old. Ruined the siding, ruined the roof, and ruined the gutters. And it all got replaced for free, which was $30,000 or so. And then I was all set to sell my house, so I had all these repairs done. And I owed $15,000 on those. And then the Lord said to me, in so many words, not words like audible, but just like I knew it was the Lord telling me I had to do this, but that you need to move back into your house and you don't need to go buy another house. And what happened was the Lord provided that $15,000 in about a month. And actually about 6 weeks, I had $15,000 paid off cash. Tell me that wasn't amazing. That wasn't God. So I actually had like $50,000 worth of home improvement, $45,000, something like that, done last year. All of it paid for. I don't owe a dime on it. Isn't that something? That's how God works. And the trials and the challenges that God gives us. Amen? So, but God blesses obedience. I had to tell my wife, look, we're not selling our house. We're moving back in there. Boy, that was a challenge, but we got through it, and we talked through it, and the Lord blessed us for it. So anyway, praise the Lord for that. Amen. So God will provide for you when you need it, and he'll take care of you. And he does. And oh, by the way, thank you for those that have been sending in donations as well. I'm very grateful for that. We just had to purchase this Focusrite thing over here. You can't see it, but we had to focus. we had to fix this machine over here next to me. We had to buy a new one, I mean. It's called a Focusrite. It was an interface, an audio interface. We had to buy that, so I'm thankful for all the funds that come in for different things like that. I'm very grateful for that. And all of those good things. And amen, and all things give thanks. That's right, even in depression, discouragements, and everything else, we have to give thanks to the Lord and know that he's there for us through all seasons and in all seasons. You don't know that unless you go through all seasons, right? You got to go through all those things in order to know that God is going to be with you through it all. You've got to be tried and tested through it and tested in the fire. Anyway, so praise God for that. Again, thank you for sending those in. And I don't do, obviously, the whole, monetized account thing. So if you do want to send us something, you could either do it through PayPal or you can just mail it into us. And that'd be fine. But we don't do any of the other things. Now, pray for us here this weekend, as Saturday we will be going to the zombie pub crawl. It'll be 38 degrees, right? It'll be cold, 38 degrees and very chilly out here, which 38 degrees isn't that chilly for Minnesota, but I have a feeling that's the warmest it's going to get. So it's going to be kind of cold. So you pray for us as we're out there handing out tracts in zombie land, that the Lord would bless us and keep us and preserve us through all those things. All right. Keep praying for us. We got a new zombie tract somewhere here. Ryan sent it to me. Now, I was supposed to proofread it, and I haven't done it yet. Shame on me. I don't know what the world I was thinking, but let's see if I can get it over there. All right. I don't think I can get it over there. Otherwise, I'd put it on there, but I can't do that from this computer. October is busy. Very busy. But we are going to that zombie pub crawl here this weekend. And then, man, we've got all of the... Let me get you some pictures of our lovely tracks. Actually, not pictures, but... let's see. Let's see. We'll get you... Get over here. Whoops, I don't want to do that. I want to put that over here. That's what I want to put over here. Let me sit. Transition! That's so cool. That is so cool. All right. All right. Let's see here. Let's see if I got that spelled right. Salve. Yep, there it is. That's the PayPal address there. Did you see that? Wasn't that cool, Mike? You thought I did that myself, but I didn't. I don't know how to do anything like that. Luke did it. Watch, it's really cool. Ready? Okay, watch. Hi, everybody. And then watch. That's so cool. Huh? How about that? Huh? Makes me look like I know what I'm doing or something, and I don't. That's what I like about Luke. He always makes me think I know what I'm doing. Or look like I know what I'm doing anyway. Well, here's a Halloween track that we're going to use this year. There's a zombie track that I just don't have there yet. So we'll get that one up there sometime here in the near future. But I've got to proof it today, which I should have been doing already. It matters me. Anyway, got to get that done. All right. I better hurry up because some guy's going to yell at me. There's this guy that yells at me. He gets mad at me if I talk in the beginning of my videos and I don't just get right to the subject and teach it right away. And I'm like, well, you know what? People like to be talked to. You know, we do things a little bit different over here on this channel. I actually like to be myself and not just come on here and like be like a robot and just like teach you through things and then just be done and then just like, okay, I'm done. I have no personality. I don't like to do that. That's not me. It's not who I am anyway. I'm not that kind of guy. So. Oh, yeah. I got to get the dog video in there. Let's see. Oh, or the dog. I got to show you a picture of the dog, don't I? I did say I was going to do that. Let me do that real quick, and then you could yell at me for being too slow. And then, you know what? Here's the way I look at it, though. If they don't like it, they don't have to listen to it, right? Or just fast forward it yourself. You'll figure it out. But a lot of people are driving trucks. They're working all day. They're doing stuff. They like a two-hour program. They like that. I've had nothing but encouragement from people, really, for the most part. Then there, you get that guy. There's always that guy. There's always that guy, right? All right. There he is. Buster, Dog Wonder. All right, here we go. Let's see here. Let's see here. You're going to see a picture of Buster the Dog Wonder. There he is. Buster Dog Wonder. He's getting big. Reach into a smooth things. Oh. All right. Preach unto us well-prepared things. Okay. Anyway, so that was Buster. He is a, what is he again? A golden doodle. Golden doodle. Golden strudel. I don't know, something like that. Yeah, well, he's more the kid's dog. I'm never there that much, but when I am there, he annoys me sufficiently, so that'll be fine. He's actually really smart, only he flies through the air, like, with the greatest of ease. It's unbelievable how that dog flies, man. That dog, we're trying to teach him right now, but he will be up, and he will be over, and he will be on the table eating somebody's cheeseburger in, like, seconds. So it is incredibly scary how fast that dog is. All right, well, now let's get to the topic at hand here, and I'm going to move my computer because I got to get Luke to show me how to get my notes over here on this goofball thing over here because I have a Mac, and I'm used to using a Mac, and I'm using a Windows now. And I'm not really that excited about using a Windows computer, to be honest with you. I do like this setup, though. It's really cool. But I don't really like Windows computers that much. I can't ever figure out how to get anything done with them. But anyway, so I'll probably have to, yeah, anyway. It doesn't matter. I have my little Mac here that does mostly everything that I need it to do. I think I'm going to sneeze here. Hang on a second. All right, so turn your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we are going to talk about this topic at hand here. Now, I will let you know that I will let you know that some people get upset about this topic. And apparently, it's some kind of secret Jesuit order tactic for me to ask for one Bible verse. Now, let me preface this by saying something. I meant at least one Bible verse. I was not excluding all other Bible verses to take one out of context. What I was saying very plainly and very clearly, I thought, but now I can make it very clear, I meant at least one Bible verse. I did not mean all you could use was one Bible verse. I wanted at least one. Begin with one. Start with one. Explain it without charts. Explain it without drawings. Explain it without all of those things. And just explain it from the scriptures. I mean, that's what I meant. And secondly, I'm not upset with anybody that disagrees with me about this topic. All right? I'm not like your enemy. Although the Ruckmanites and their savagery, and they're the most meanest people besides the Andersonites, which they ought to kind of like yoke together because they have the same spirit. Anyway, those guys get extremely angry when their doctrine of the pre-trib rapture is challenged. They get extremely upset. So when I said one verse, I was like, that was like a minimal. okay? It wasn't like, I wasn't trying to trick you. I wasn't trying to, like, fast one pulled on you there, buddy. I wasn't asking you to rip one out of context, nor am I ripping anything out of context when I read you the context of the entire chapter in which we're dealing with. So let me just say again, I'm not mad at anybody. I don't have an axe to grind with anybody. Neither do I need to write an entire book to explain to you what I believe. The Bible says. And if you disagree with me at the end of the day, well, you'll find out how wrong you are in heaven. Right? And I'll find out what I'm wrong about when I get there. Because we're all going to find out we're wrong about something when we get there. I can guarantee you that. That's an absolute guarantee. Now, let me say this to you. I find that most people are pre-trib emotionally. I believe a lot of it is an emotional thing. I do not believe a lot of it is a scriptural, dogmatic, holding to the text position. Okay? Nor do I see this secret catching away that is being talked about that's kind of pushed. This secret thing that's going to happen that nobody's going to know about. I just don't see it. Okay? I don't see it. I used to preach it because my teachers taught it to me, and I had all the pre-trib books, and I read Bullinger, and I read Ruckman, and I read Larkin, and I read all these guys. But you know what? After I started studying it, the plain scriptures and what they taught, I'll be honest with you, a lot of doubt started coming to my mind. Now, let me say this again before you shut me off and get mad at me. I'm not saying that everybody's position is that way. There are able-bodied men out there. There are able-minded men out there, I should say, excuse me. Able-minded men out there that are able to defend their position on what they believe very well. There are also men that are better arguers, but it doesn't mean that they're right. Do you understand that? Well, there's a difference. Amillennialists and postmillennialists are totally denying the scriptures, the authority of the scriptures in their positions. But at the same time, I'm not going to stop being your friend because I disagree with the pre-trib position. I'm not going to do that. You may treat me like I'm your enemy, but I'm not going to treat you like that. And I'm also not going to say that because you're pre-trib, it's just because you want to get a trip out of here sooner. And you know, that's the only reason why you're that way. I'm not going to say that, okay? I'm not going to do that. I don't want you judging my motives, and I'm not going to judge yours when it comes to that, okay? I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to judge your motives and say, well, you know, this is why you're pre-trib. I'm not going to do that to you. The reason I mentioned the emotional thing, because a lot of the times it is. I've heard, you know, I mean, a lot of times it is an emotional thing. All right? So I'm not coming after you in a rabid manner. So please don't come after me in a rabid manner, because I have no desire to do that to you. I have friends that are pre-trib. Now that might not, that might sound like saying, "Hey, I have black friends." Look, I'm not racist. I have black friends. Who else thought that was funny? Who else did? I did. Did anybody else think that was funny? I think it was. Come on. Somebody laugh. It'll take you a few seconds to catch up to me. But somebody's got to laugh about that. That was funny. That was really funny. By the way, if you ever want to send me any tea in the Keurig, is that how you call it, a Keurig? If you ever want to send me some, man, you can send me some, what do you call that? Well, this is English breakfast tea, and that's really good. Okay, that's good. But Earl Grey is good, and I'm starting to like it in that Keurig, that Earl Grey. Man, that's some good stuff right there. Anyway, I knew that's what it sounded like. I knew it sounded like that, Jason. I knew it did. Okay. All right, let's get into it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. That guy's going to be mad at me. Hey, guy that's listening that's mad at me. Yay. Thumbs up for you being mad at me. Thumbs up, dude. I don't care. All right. Here we go. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, comma, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled. You could send me some herbs, Carl, as long as they're legal ones. That you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letters from us, is that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? All right. I do love Earl Grey tea, by the way, and you can send it to me. I'll drink it. As long as it's not, like, laced with something scary. I mean, closed container, please. I have many enemies. All right. So let's get into this. Is the rapture imminent? And let's, Luke, I want you to timestamp this at 35 minutes or 34 minutes. That the teaching starts at 34 minutes. For all those people on YouTube land that would like that, and put that in the comment section, please. All right? Thank you. So is it imminent? What does that word mean? It means that the return of Jesus Christ can happen at any moment. No warning signs will indicate it. And that we Christians remain on alert 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's what Thomas Ice said. He said, an imminent event is one which is always hanging overhead, is constantly ready to befall or overtake one, close at hand. Thus, imminence carries the sense that it could happen at any moment. Other things may happen before the imminent event, but nothing else must take place before it happens. If something else must take place before an event can happen, then that event is not imminent. Well, in other words, he says, the necessity of something else taking place first destroys the concept of eminence. Walvoord, a very famous pre-tribulation scholar who has written many books, stated that this doctrine of eminence is the central figure of the pre-tribulationalism, is the doctrine of eminency. The doctrine of eminency is the heart of pre-trib. All right? Here we go. So what does the Bible say? The Bible says, is eminence taught in the Bible? Now, the word eminence is not in the Bible. The word eminent is not in the Bible. In all things that Christ may have the preeminence is in the Bible. That's true. But I want to give you some proofs here today from the scriptures that I don't believe the rapture is imminent. I don't believe it's any moment. I don't believe it was any moment. Right? That this could take place or something could happen or that the rapture could happen any moment. I don't believe that. And I don't believe the scriptures teach that, and that's why I don't believe that. If the Bible taught it, I'd believe it, and I'd be excited about it. Because I'd be like, let's get out of here. Everybody's mean here. Let's go. But that's not what the Bible says. And I can't base it off my feelings and what I want the Bible to say. But I have to base it off what God's word actually says. So the first proof, number one, is our text verse. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letters from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Paul's saying, look, don't be shaken in mind. Don't be troubled. I don't care if a spirit comes to you. I don't care if a word or if you get another letter from us as the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means. So deception, he said, don't let any man deceive you by any means, any way. You know, there's ways that people have tried to do that in the past. I remember one guy, he told me a long time ago, or he didn't tell me, he told my cousin. This was probably about 50, this was 20 years ago. He told me about 20 years ago, or told my cousin about 20 years ago. He said, well, I used to be Catholic and I used to believe in Jesus, but I stopped believing in Jesus. Well, what'd you do that for? Well, I quit believing in Jesus when they found a tomb over there with the name of Jesus on it and there was a body in it. It's like, well, that's it. Says, by any means. Let no man deceive you by any means. Well, that was the means that's all it took him to be deceived. Coming upon this earth are going to be many means that are going to deceive us. Not us, but the world. They're going to attempt to deceive the world. And attempt to deceive us. And if it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived. That's how close it's going to be. Do you understand that? It's going to be that close that the deception is going to be there. That close. It's something that we ought to be. We have to know our God and know our Bible and know it very plainly and not go off what we feel, what our emotions tell us, the doubts, fears. Look what he says here. Now, preacher, do you really believe that you could be troubled? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I've been troubled. Neither by spirit. You mean so? There's fallen angels and spirits that could try to trouble you? Yeah. They can try. Nor by word. That's somebody's sermon. Nor by letter as from us. Oh, we found the missing apostles' letters. And it clears everything up. The Bible's not true. Is that what they do? That's what they do. Oh, we found an older and more reliable manuscript. And you losers don't have the Bible. You're a bunch of losers. You've been believing this book for 2,000 years, you losers. You got to believe this new evidence I dug up in me trash can at the foot of the Catholic monastery. Losers. Right? No. Paul said nope. They found the Gospel of Judas, the Gospel of Thomas, the Gospel of Barnabas. I don't care if you find Barney's Gospel. It doesn't matter to me. We have the Word of God right here. Nor by word, nor by letter is from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. So let's stop right there. The falling away must come first before the day of Christ. There must be a falling away. What does that word mean, a falling away? It means apostasy. Apostasy. That's what the word is. Apostasy. There must come the apostasy before, look at this, before the day of Christ is at hand, before the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, there must be a coming of a falling away first. There must be a falling away first. What is that falling away? It's the apostasy. That's what it is. And we're seeing it now. Matthew 24:10 says, and then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Mark 13:12 says, now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father, the son, and the children shall rise up against their parents, shall cause them to be put to death. The falling away, we find it in Mark chapter 4, but there's going to be a wholesale apostasy. Mainline Christianity apostatizing before our eyes. Right? That's what it is. If you study things that deal with falling away, it's a bad thing. I heard some pre-trib rapture people, and I'm not saying all of them, but I heard some of them say, I've heard this theory, oh, that's the catching away. That's really the catching away. That's not the same word. It's not even the same Greek word, and I don't speak Greek, but it isn't the same Greek word. It's apostasy. It's the apostasy. Here's an example of that. Look at this. John chapter 18, verse number 5. Verse number 4, Jesus therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Judas, the apostasy, right? The apostate apostle, right? The falling away. The picture of that. The same picture of something else falling away was it Eli in the temple? Let's see. Let me see here where it is. Might be under fell back. Let's see. Here we go. 1 Samuel 4:21. Now Eli was 98 years old, and his eyes were dim, and he could not see. And the man said unto Eli, I am he that come out of the army and fled today out of the army. And he said, what is there done, my son? And the messenger answered and said, Israel has fled before the Philistines, and there hath been also great slaughter among the people, and thy two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the ark of God is taken. And it came to pass when he had mentioned the ark of God that he fell from off the seat backward by the side of the gate, and his neck brake, and he died, for he was an old man and heavy. And he had judged Israel 40 years. Right? Fell away. Fell back. Right? So that falling away, is those things that fall away. Luke 8:13. They on the rock are they which when they hear the receive the word with joy, these have no root which for a while believe, and in time of temptation they fall away. And that time so they fall away. He says Hebrews 6:6 says it's impossible for those that are saved to fall away, because they cannot be renewed again to repentance. But there's going to be a final apostasy. And what you have to understand is the rapture is not imminent, because the falling away must take place first. A wholesale apostasy, which we are seeing the foreshadows of right now, I believe we're right in the thick of it. That has to take place first. So if it was imminent, why does there have to be a falling away first? And see, they try to set this up to be like there's two different things here. There's two different catching. The Bible doesn't say that, though. It doesn't say that, and it doesn't show that either. But it says here, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. What does the falling away bring on? The falling away makes it possible for the man of sin to be revealed, the son of perdition. This man of sin is the Antichrist. So the falling away must take place first. The second thing that must happen first before a rapture takes place, before the coming of the Lord takes place, is what? The man of sin being revealed. The son of perdition. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God. Listen to me. If you're alive when this takes place, if you're alive, you are going to see the Antichrist. If he shows up on the scene, you're going to see the falling away, and then the next thing you're going to see as that falling away, it brings on the Antichrist. And the churches now are preparing themselves for the falling away, or for the Antichrist to appear. We are seeing the wholesale apostasy of churches today. Look at the Southern Baptist Convention. Look at the compromise going on there. Look at the sexual perversion. Look at the molestation. Look at the pedophilia. Look at all the perversion out there. Look at where everything is headed. Look at the false Christ that is preached. Look at the false doctrine that is preached. Look at the false Bible versions that are being used. They're preparing for something. Go back and listen to the message that I preached. The Jesus of the let's see. I don't know if I put that on there. I got to get those from Hoggard. Luke, did I get those? Did we ever get those sermons off Hoggard's, Pastor Hoggard's channel? I don't know if we did. But I preached the Jesus of the NIV is Antichrist. And all these things must take place first. That falling away must come, and the falling away brings on the man of sin. Look, those that are in the churches today that are lost, that are not saved, those that are not saved, that are in the churches today, and I mean those that are in the apostatized churches today, that they don't even really profess the Bible. I mean, they profess it, but they don't hold any sound doctrine in it. Those people are going to fill the church of the Antichrist. Look, these mega churches that have left the faith, that have already apostatized, they are preparing for that man of sin to come in. They are preparing for the man of sin to come in. The son of perdition, who is the Antichrist. Two times we see the son of perdition, referencing Judas and referencing the Antichrist directly. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Anywhere the Bible says is the temple of God is where he's going to sit. If it is a third Jewish temple on the mount, the temple of God. If it is the temple of the Holy Ghost, the church, the temple of God. If it is the temple of your heart, which your heart is a chamber, your heart is a throne, and God is to sit on the throne of man's heart. All those are places where the Lord would sit, and he wants to defile all of those. He's going to sit in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time? In his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed. That wicked has to come first. Matthew 24 did predict AD 70, which ended the temple worship in the Old Covenant. Absolutely agree with that. I don't disagree with that at all. I absolutely agree with that. But it doesn't change the fact that that's where God put his name. He said it. He said it. When Jesus, here, pay attention now. When Jesus went to the Temple Mount, he said, "Make not my Father's house a house of merchandise." Herod built that temple. It's called Herod's Temple. Jesus still called it his Father's house. I'm just telling you, wherever God puts his name, that's where the Antichrist is going to put his. He's going to do it. That's how he operates. He does it now. All right? Look at this. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him. Who's him? The Antichrist. Whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. I thought about the tests that God brings his children through. The test of your emotions and your feelings. Over and over again, the old-time preachers used to warn people, look, don't trust in your feelings. When you doubt your salvation, when you have times of depression and discouragement, you trust God's word. When the Son of Man shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. When you were saved by the grace of God, when you go into darkness and bad things happen to you, don't look for signs. Don't look for all these other things. You just keep trusting God in the dark when you can't see anything, just as you trusted in the day you were saved. God doesn't change. He's still the same yesterday, today, forever. Right? And he's saying that because there's going to come a time on this earth when signs and wonders are going to be there. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Deceit. With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. Those that did not turn to Christ in saving faith. Those that would not accept the sacrifice of Christ on Calvary. Those who would not repent and believe the gospel. That they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you've been taught. This is the one you're supposed to hold to. Right? This one. These traditions. This is what he's explaining. This is what he's basing it off of. Don't fall for something else. Hold to this. All right. So the falling away and the man of sin must be revealed. You see the man of sin in Revelation chapter 13. When does he come on the scene? Revelation chapter 13. Here's the beast and here's the man of sin and here's all the world wondering after the beast. This has to take place first, friend. This must take place first. All right. Let's move on to some more scripture here. Who is that man of sin that's going to sit at that temple of God saying he is God? Mark 13:14. But when you shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing where it ought not. So Paul tells them that's the Antichrist. That's a picture. That's a picture of when that's going to take place. The Antichrist being revealed has to come first. I've heard people say, well, bless God, I'm waiting for Jesus Christ, not the Antichrist. I don't know what's wrong with you people waiting for the Antichrist and not waiting for Christ. Well, I'm believing the Bible. That's why. That's what he said. He said the man of sin would be revealed, the son of perdition. Before what? Go back up and look what it says. Let's go back over there. Whoops. It says here, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as at the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Has to happen first. Very clearly. All right. So let me give you some practical reasons also from the scriptures why the rapture has not always been imminent. There's some very good scriptural reasons. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 21. Now, this may be considered overly practical for some people, but it is what the Bible says. And we have to believe what the scriptures say over what we want them to say. John chapter 21, verse number 17. Jesus goes on to Simon Peter, and he talks to him about, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. He saith unto the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee. Let me get down here. When thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. In John 21:17, the Bible says, Jesus told Peter that he told Peter that he would live to be an old man and he would die this way. Well, if the rapture was imminent, that's not possible. Because Peter was going to die. So if Peter was waiting for the rapture, then why did Jesus tell him that? Why would Jesus tell him, no, Peter, you're going to die. And you're going to die this way, Peter. This is how you're going to die. So what do you and I do with that? Do we take that and do we like ignore that or act like that's not there? No. We believe what the Bible says. We believe what God's word says. And it says that Peter was going to die first. So the rapture was not imminent. Nothing else has to happen before the rapture. Well, number one, it's not true because the Bible says the falling away has to happen. Number two, the man of sin has to be revealed, the son of perdition. So we know those things are true. We also know that the rapture wasn't happening before Peter. Before Peter died. It's what it says. It's what Jesus said anyway. He said that Peter wasn't going to die. Here's another example of that. How could the rapture be at any moment when Peter had to die, an old man, and when Paul was told he would bear witness of Christ in Rome? Turn to Acts 23. Acts 23:11. So the Lord came to Peter or Paul, right? The Lord comes to Paul. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, "Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome." Well, if the rapture was imminent, this would contradict it, wouldn't it? By the way, another thing that destroys that doctrine of eminence is the church age theory of Revelation 1 through 3. I believe it kind of destroys their whole theory. Now, my take on those church ages, that church age theory of Revelation 1 through 3 is this. My take on that is that all seven churches are there. Seven is the number of completion, and there are seven types of churches. And there are going to be seven different types of churches that we're going to find out there in the world. But as far as nailing them down to dates like they do, I don't know if that's accurate. But all those church ages, if you believe what they say, all those church ages had to be accomplished. So how in the world, if the pre-tribulation rapture is true, then how does the Philadelphian church and the Laodicean church, all those had to be, so the rapture couldn't have been imminent all through that church history. All through all seven of those phases of church history, the rapture was not imminent. But now we get to say it's imminent when we're supposedly in Laodicea? Does that make sense? By their own theory, it doesn't make any sense at all. It's actually rather confusing. So then the rapture wasn't imminent in the first church age, or the second church age, or the third church age, or the fourth church age, or the fifth church age, or the sixth, but in the seventh, it's accurate. That doesn't make any sense. Could have been imminent all through that period, anytime, nothing had to happen. Well, obviously, if those are your church age theories, all those things had to happen. Because you say the age was the Philadelphia, was the missionary age. Well, that had to take place before the rapture came. So how could the rapture have been imminent if that had to take place? If you're saying that, behold, I have set before thee an open door, and that was the Philadelphian age, and that's what most pre-tribbers hold to, is that timeline and that theory? Well, then how is that possible? Because all those things had to happen first. All those ages had to be fulfilled, in your view. So if your view is correct, then it contradicts itself. Because you couldn't say in Luther's time the rapture could have happened. In the Waldensians' time, the rapture could happen. Well, wait a minute, how's that? Philadelphia hadn't taken place yet. Laodicea hadn't taken place yet. And if Jesus comes back at Laodicea in Revelation 4:1, come up hither. Well, then it couldn't have happened 1,000 years ago. It couldn't have happened 500 years ago. Right? Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Is that clear? Because that's what's clear to me. That the church age theory, if you hold to that with the pre-tribulation rapture, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense at all. But here we see that Paul had to have this had to happen first. Now, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 24. By the way, let's look at Revelation chapter 1. Let's see. In the midst of the golden, seven golden candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with the garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with the golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice is the sound of many waters. So he describes what these things are. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. So very plainly, that's what those are. He does not say they're seven church ages, but that's what people have accustomed them to be. Man, I used to hold to that theory. And man, when you start lining up the things, it looks pretty impressive, actually. I mean, it makes sense, but you can also see those same things now. All seven of those churches now. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, so he write these things, saith the seven stars in his right, he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them to be them liars. So he's going through all of these, and he tells them their faults, and he tells them their cures, and how they can be cured. So we see that. Go on to the next chapter, and you see the same thing. So, if you understand that, that's what's being taught there. I don't believe it because I don't think it's accurate. Oops, let's see. I don't believe that's accurate, but that's what pre-tribbers teach. But not all of them. But many of them teach that. I learned that from them. So that's how they look at those things as a timeline. Well, then you have to figure out if that's the case, because if that's the case, you can't have it both ways. You can't say it's imminent. Well, now you get to say, now you can say it's imminent because you're past all those ages. See what I mean? That doesn't make sense. All right, Matthew 24. I think there's going to be... This subject really makes pre-tribbers mad, though. A lot of them get really angry about this. And I hope I don't get a lot of rabid stuff by it, but I'll just ignore it if I do. I get a lot of rabid ones when it comes to this topic. It does upset some people. And hey, man, I used to believe it. Man, I kind of like the idea too, don't you? But doesn't mean it's correct. All right, Matthew 24. The temple in Jerusalem had to be destroyed. So if the rapture was imminent and could happen at any time, why did Jesus say the temple had to be destroyed? And Jesus went out and departed from the temple. And his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And he sat upon the Mount of Olives. The disciples came in him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? Question. And what shall be the sign of thy coming? Question. And of the end of the world? Question. Jesus was saying to them that that temple was going to be destroyed. And bad things were going to happen in Jerusalem. And it is reported that, and we're not going to get into this today, but it is reported that 1 million Jews lost their lives in AD 70 when Titus came into the temple and destroyed it. It is spoken of that not one Christian lost their life because they followed the teachings of the apostles and they made their flight. And they got out of Dodge. They left. They left and they got out of there. The Christians did. And it makes sense because when you look at the year that they got out of there, they would have been spreading the gospel all over the place. But that had to happen first. The temple had to be destroyed. Had to happen. So if that's the case, then it wasn't imminent. I hope that makes sense to you. It does to me. It might be raining cats and dogs, but this is very clear. I'm not speaking Greek, I'm speaking English, and this is very clear. So, all right. How would you describe it then, do you think? How would we describe it? By the way, let me take a little break from this, and somebody asked me a question over here, and I think I'll answer it for you real quick, and then we'll get back to this, because I want to teach you how I believe, by the scriptures, that we should look at things as God shows us. Okay, Andrew asked, Pastor, I get asked why we should bring kids into the world as it's getting worse. I would appreciate thoughts on that. I have a simple answer, but you have good insight. Okay, here's why. God said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, and he never rescinded that. And children are a heritage of the Lord. They are a blessing. They are a blessing from God. Children are a blessing from God. And that's what the Bible says that. Let me show you that verse. Oh, it's 30 times. That's pretty cool, actually. Psalm 127:3, lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. You know, and let me read this whole thing to you. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gates. So, the Bible says that children are a blessing. And God says that honestly, you and I don't have the right to withhold child. We don't have the right to use birth control. We are not God. We do not have the right to withhold life. We don't. If you haven't listened to our video, there's a testimony of Ryan and Erica from our church about birth control. And it deals with reversing birth control is what it's called. And Ryan and Erica, they have a testimony before they came to this church. They had some financial struggles and all those things. And Ryan and Erica, they ended up having Erica's tubes tied. Well, after they came to this church, and after a while, no one said anything to them. We had no idea. I didn't know anything about that. But Ryan and Erica came under conviction over it, that it was not their duty to do that or their right to do that. So what they did was they reversed it. They prayed about it. They got the money. Let's see if I can find that here. They got the money, which I think it cost them like $5,000 or something like that. I'm not sure. Here it is right here. They got the money and they went and had it reversed. Why? Because they believe God's word. They believe what God's word says. And praise the Lord that they do. Because the Lord blessed them. I do have a problem with pop-ups, and I have that YouTube premium thing, but I got to figure out how to get it on here because I've already paid for it, and it blocks all that stuff, but I don't know how to do it on here, so I have to figure it out. But if there's a way to do that, on YouTube, that is. I know there's other sites. Pastor Hoggard, he saves it to Evernote, his articles and everything. So anyway, praise the Lord for that, but that's the testimony. All right, we don't have a right to play God, and using birth control is playing God. I had some guy tell me, because him and his wife were using birth control, and he was a missionary, and he said, look, that was for the old dispensation. That's not for the new one. Well, I'll tell you what, you can get away with anything if you just throw it in a different dispensation, man. You can do whatever you want. It's unbelievable what you can do. It's unbelievable what you can do when you just throw it in a different dispensation, man. You can do whatever you want, man. Nah, that's for that dispensation. Throw that over there. Get rid of that. Do what I want to do. All right. So listen to, if you haven't watched this yet, this is very long because I never do anything short, it seems like. But this is 2 hours and 14 minutes, and we shortened it, but it's very good. So listen to this interview that I did with them. I'd like to do some more of these, actually. That was really fun, and it was helpful, and it was a very good, very good spirit and everything about it. It was just good. It turned out good. So anyway, perhaps the Lord will allow us to do that again sometime, something similar to that sometime. But we will see about that. All right, let's get back into our study here. I don't think there was any other questions that were on here. So let's get back into our study. What's the proper way to look at the rapture then? You know, what do we look at? Well, here's the thing. Expectancy is not imminency. Living our life in expectancy is not imminency. It's kind of, I'll liken it to this. It's likened to a person that is waiting to get married. They're watching in anticipation, but other things are going to happen first. Birthdays are going to happen. Thanksgiving may happen. Holidays may be celebrated before I get to that wedding day. Other things have to happen but I'm still to expect it. I'm still to look for that wedding day. I'm still looking in anticipation. When I was courting my wife, when we were engaged, before we were married, we had like 8 months to go or something like that. Things had to happen first before that wedding, but I was always looking in expectancy for that wedding. I was always waiting in anticipation for that wedding. So I was expecting it. I was ready for it, but it wasn't imminent. It couldn't happen at any time. There had to be some things that happened first. Do you understand that there has to be things that happen before that? So it's like any big day. So we should look at the coming of the Lord the same way. We should be living in expectancy of that. But that's not the same as living in imminency. It's not the same. There's a difference. And that's the problem with the pre-tribulation rapture theory or teaching, is that they ignore the other things that must happen first and then try to give the impression, well, we're not preparing ourselves for that. If you're not pre-trib, then you're not preparing yourself for that. Well, I'm expecting the return of the Lord. But I'm also expecting other things to happen first that have to come before that. So that's the proper way to look at it. When I'm when a man is preparing for marriage, I mean a sober-minded man, what is he doing? A Christian man, let's say, a sober-minded man that loves the Lord, what is he doing? Man, he's getting the house ready. He's getting he's getting his bills in line. He's getting ready to pay for things. Why? He's living in expectation of that day. That doesn't mean he's going to ignore Thanksgiving when it comes up. He's not going to ignore church on Sunday. He's not going to act like those things aren't going to happen first. But he's going to live in expectancy. So he's still going to prepare himself for that day. He's going to prepare himself to be a husband. Right? He's going to prepare himself to be a husband. That's the example. And we're to prepare ourselves for the coming of the Lord. We're to be expecting it. We're to be expecting the coming of the Lord. We're to live in expectation of that. But that does not mean that it's imminent. And Eli, why do you assume that I haven't studied? But I'm going to break into this teaching here a little bit. Why do you assume that I haven't studied a Hebrew wedding? Why do you assume that I haven't studied it? For instance, why do you assume that I haven't studied that? Why do you assume that I don't know that the bridegroom comes back a year later after he left, and he comes back with a procession of people into that bride chamber? Why do you assume that I've never studied that? Why do you assume that I've never taught on a Jewish wedding before? Because I have. That's the expectancy. I have studied it, and I've actually taught on it. Anyway, so but it still doesn't prove what the scriptures say very plainly. How somebody can ignore that Peter had to die first, how somebody can ignore that the temple had to be destroyed first, how somebody can ignore any of that baffles the mind. Do you see what they told me to go look at? Well, go look at a Jewish wedding. Well, go look at pickles in a pickle jar. Let's go look at pickles in a pickle jar. Let's go look at Cheerios in a bowl of cereal. Let's go look at Cheerios in milk. Why don't you go study Cheerios in milk? I had people tell, why don't you go study a fig tree? Why don't you go study a fig tree? I'm reading what the Bible says. Why don't you go study donuts? I'm reading what God's word says. I'm just telling you, they always want you to go somewhere else, go look at somewhere else, go look at this picture in the Old Testament, go look at this, go look at that, just ignore the plain teaching of the scripture and plain sixth grade English, and go look at this, and go look at that, and go look at this, and go look at that. You have to do all the, why can't I just read what God's word says and just be like, well, that's what it says. Right? Why can't we just do that? There's always something, it's always like something that's spoken in a mystery. Go look at that instead of what the plain English New Testament says. Right? Can't do that. I just, you know, it just frustrates me when people do that because they don't like what the Bible says about it. They don't like the fact that God's word says that. They just don't like it. Another verse that a lot of pre-tribulation rapture folks want to use is in 2 Thessalonians or 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I don't feel bad. I was just being very emphatic, said, yes, I have studied that. I've studied it. And it doesn't change anything. Anyway. The Bible says, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, they always stop there, thief in the night, thief in the night. See, thief in the night. We'll read the rest of it. But, that's a contrast word. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. So it's expectation. I'm to watch and be sober for the coming of the Lord. I'm to watch. I'm to be awake. I'm to be alert. I'm to be paying attention to what God says. Frohlin, if you listen to the gospel which is able to save your soul, you can listen to that one. Have him listen to that one. The gospel which is able to save your soul. It's on Sermon Audio or YouTube. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child. And they shall not escape, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Amen. So we are told to watch. To be sober. To be awake. That's what we're taught to do. And I'm not arguing with anybody. I'm stating very plainly what I believe. I don't think I argued with anybody. I don't think I was arguing. I said very plainly that every time you try to teach something, pre-tribbers are like, well, go look at this, go look at that, go look at this. Go. That's a pattern. That's a pattern that has always been there. And I'm not the first one to discover that pattern that's there. Many people have said that. Plain and simple. Many of them have. And the only reason why you're offended at it is because you're being challenged by what God's word says. I'm not attacking you. I didn't attack you. The Bible says very clearly, though, that we are not surprised. We are not taken by that. Also, there's other things in the Old Testament prophecy that has to be fulfilled before that comes. There has to be the gathering together of Israel. Those things had to come to pass. Now, there's people that will argue whether 1948 was that gathering. I believe it was. I believe it was. I believe 1948 was the regathering, because I believe God can use any pagan, wicked cabal system, any wicked United Nations. God can use anybody he wants to reunite. He's going to use the Antichrist in the end to kill off two-thirds of those Jews, and one-third are going to live, and they're going to be saved, and all of Israel will be saved. So God can use anybody he wants to. And he does. He uses anybody that he wants to. He used Nebuchadnezzar. He used King Cyrus. He used a lot of people. But those people hate God. Well, of course they do. But the people in Israel over there, they hate God. Yeah, well, of course they do. They sure do. They hate God. Yeah. They're antichrist. Yeah, two-thirds of them are going to be fried. Yeah, they do. That's true. But that doesn't change the truth any. Now, some people may question that, but either way you look at it, there is a regathering. There is a regathering over there in that area, and that will be manifest as time goes by. Those things had to take place first. They had to. Before the coming of the Lord. Had to. And the problem is that the problem is that when you look at in 1948, when you look at that in 1948, when you look at that regathering together, if that, let's say you believe that that's the regathering together, which I personally do, they come in as dead men's bones, and they're in the land as dead men's bones. That I agree with. But here's the thing about it. After that, or before that, how could the rapture have been imminent if they weren't in the land yet? If they weren't brought back together, brought back into the land yet? The Bible said that would happen before the coming of the Lord. So you have to believe that. You have to understand what the scriptures say about those things. So if you ask, you know, is the rapture imminent? I would say no. Are we to be expectant? Yes. We are to be living our lives in expectation of God returning, of Christ returning to this earth. We are to live in expectation of that. And we are to prepare ourselves for the coming of the Lord. But I believe what the scriptures say is that there's things that must happen before that. They must take place before that happens. And one of those was Israel had to be regathered back into the land before that. Waller, I'd like to track the IP address. I'm sick and tired of you harassing me, and I'm going to find out from somebody how to get a hold of that. I'll have somebody look at it and find out why you keep coming back on my channel when you're unwanted. Anyway. I'm not offended by it, Eli. I'm not offended by it. I just, maybe you're not used to a man speaking boldly. I'm not sure. A lot of people aren't used to men speaking boldly, so they think that they're mad when they speak passionately. I've always spoke like that. That's who I am. So, and when I'm excited about something, I get excited about it. It's just the way it is. It's the way I've always been. I'm not upset about the way I already explained myself. I'm not going to do that again. So that's fine. Some people just like to nitpick you, and they like to come on this thread to nitpick. If you want to nitpick, don't come on. Don't say anything. Because it's a waste of time. And it's not worth it. It's not worth the time that the people come on here to listen, and they want to learn something. They don't want to nitpick. If you want to have a discussion about that, then, you know, about something, then you can. But other than that, it's not worth it. It's not worth it to waste time like that. All right. Okay. Well, anyway, so a lot to think about there. And okay, I get that too. Rain Country says, when I got passionate about a topic, then people assume I'm mad. I know, Rain Country, you're always mad. I you're just a mad person. I know that all the time about you. Anyway. So that is why I do not believe that the rapture is imminent. And that scripture should suffice. Anybody else on here? Let's see, have any questions before we call it a day here. Let's see. We got some time here. Let's see. That's right. Yeah, I don't know why somebody would come on here like like that Waller guy and just not want to be on here. It's really weird that they do that, that they just come on here to spam like that, and because he's mad because of what I do. It's just weird. Like, who wastes that much time with their life if they are not interested in learning about the Bible? Why would they even sit there and do that, right? It's really weird. But recipe for that brisket. Boy, that brisket looked good, didn't it? Man, oh man, was that good. All right, guys, you want to see the picture of that brisket? I'll send it to you right now. All right, let's see here. I made this brisket. Well, actually, my wife did. But we smoked it all day long, and boy, was it good. Let's see here. I'll put it up here. Oh, I'll put it up here right now. Whoa, that was weird. Look at that, huh? Doesn't that look good? Oh, man, was that good. Oh. What are your thoughts on street preachers? Somebody asked me. What are your thoughts on street preachers who call people bastards, sluts, whores? Well, you know, It really depends on how it's done, but I don't think you need to do that. Sometimes there's a time when you got to be firm with some people, but I think it's best. I think it's best if. I think it's best if you don't use those terms. I don't think it's necessary to use those. And I think that it doesn't really help. Have I used some of those before? Yes, I have. A lot more years ago. I don't really now as much at all. Because I've learned by some experience that it really doesn't help anything. And you know, it doesn't really help anything to use that kind of language. So I suggest not doing it, and that you really have to search your heart and find out, you know, if it's something that somebody wants to continue to use like that and have that type of spirit, it's more antagonistic than anything. You know, so try to keep from that. Isaiah says Jesus' beard was plucked out when he was crucified and he didn't have long hair. So how can the Shroud of Turin not be fake? Well, what do you mean? How can it not be fake, Carl? I don't understand what you're asking me there. Why would it be real? You know what? Why would it be real? Yeah, it's fake. You know, Okay, well, anyway. We'll see what happens with that guy. But, yeah, exactly. So that I would be careful about that. Okay, anyway, I don't know what the deal is. I just reported something, so we'll see what happens. I'm tired of that guy coming on here and just like, whew, it's just ridiculous. Guy never leaves. He just keeps starting up new accounts. Let's see. I just got to work, and I'm seriously going to the store to pick up a side of beef. Ha ha! Good. I hope you like. Hope you like it. It was good. I don't know what that is. I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. Yep. Well, that's true. Let's see. Unfortunately, yeah, I don't know why people do that, but they like to come on here and argue. Anyway, so one more program this week, probably early Friday, I'm guessing 11 to 1. And then I'm off, maybe. We'll see. I don't know. We'll see. I don't know. I might do a broadcast tomorrow and not Friday. I don't know. Anyway, we'll see. I'll let you know. I'm not sure yet if I want to do Friday or if I just want to take the day off Friday. But I've got to do some stuff in the morning anyway, and then I'm going to take my wife out on Friday. So anyway, but I got to get prepared for my vacation too. I got to try to plan that out. So her and I are going to go out on Friday and prepare that vacation, try to put together a plan for the vacation. I think we're going to go to the Smoky Mountains, that area. So I'm looking forward to that. Yes, I will probably do some live videos from the zombie pub crawl. I will be going live from there. Live from the zombie pub crawl. Absolutely. That's going to be fun. So we'll definitely do that, Lord willing, anyway. And I think that'll be a blessing to those that are watching. We'll see how it goes. It gets kind of crazy, I'll tell you. It really does get nuts. But we'll pray that the Lord protects us, and you pray for us too. You know, that the Lord would keep us and protect us. There's a lot of crazy people out there. And they'll be in their costumes, and they'll be in, you know, a lot of things. Yeah, hopefully you'll be able to catch us live there at the zombie pub crawl. It should be interesting. All right. Well, I got to get ready for sun. I got to go run on my elliptical, go eat some food, and get back into church here. We've got church tonight. I'll be preaching in the book of Acts. Back in the book of Acts. Back in Acts. We'll be teaching on Stephen's sermon. Going through that, so that'll be interesting. You might want to switch to the full. There we go. So that's a good idea. So we'll be back in Acts tonight, and we'll put those online. I've got another one to put online. Oh, Luke, we got to get pictures for the two sermons so you can put the sermon only up because our video's not work. I don't think our video worked. Remember, or unless you can change the audio and use the video. But we have two sermons, Sunday mornings and Sunday night, to get on. So, Lord willing, we'll be able to get those on. Yep, thanks, everybody. I appreciate it. Appreciate the prayers. Keep praying for us. And we'll be back with you on either Thursday or Friday. I'm not sure. Probably Friday morning, but I don't know for sure. We'll see. I'll let you know. Have a good night.